Alrighty. Before we get into our study in Joshua chapter 20, I want to make a theological statement, and then I want you to answer a question that deals with it. You will need to pay close attention, because some would say that the question that I'm going to ask is a trick question. And they may be right. It's not necessarily designed to be a trick question, but it might turn out to be that way. Here's the fact. God is an infinitely sovereign God. Now let me define that to make it tricky. Colossians chapter 1 says that God has created all things, and for His own purposes they are created, they exist. In that God has created all things, everything owes its existence to Him. There's nothing that has come about by itself. Everything ultimately comes from Him. He is therefore able and has the right to do with all things whatsoever He desires. Sovereignty defined is God has the right and the ability to do whatsoever He desires with all things. Now here's the question. Are there such a thing as accidents? Now that may be a trick question. The answer to the question is with what perspective do you look at things? If God has the ability and right to do whatever He desires with all things, then from the perspective of God, there is no such thing as an accident. But, if we were living in a perfect world, there would be no such things as accidents. But we are not living in a perfect world, and from a human perspective, we do not have the sovereign ability to control all things, and therefore some of the things that we desire to do or don't desire to do may transpire. And from a human perspective, there are accidents. From a divine perspective, there are not. Does that sound about half logical? Since you've done so well, I want to try this process again. Theological statement. All life is sacred. Let me define it. In that all life ultimately comes from God, all life has value and or purpose in accomplishing the will of God by His sovereign control. Since God has created everything and He has the right to control everything, everything has value and or purpose. And therefore, all life is sacred. I think that's theologically accurate. Question. Can life be taken by man without consequence from God? Life. In that, even mosquitoes, and they're created by God and therefore have a purpose of existence and are being used of God to accomplish His purposes in time, they have value, therefore they have, or purpose, therefore they have value, and are, by definition, sacred. Can life be taken by man without consequence from God? And the answer is yes. In fact, sometimes, according to Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, it is necessary for man to take life. May I remind you that every time you eat green beans, you are taking life. Go for it. That way I don't have to. Every time you eat meat, you have taken a life. Or at least indirectly, you have been involved in taking life. That's life. Certainly the life is different from the life of a human being in that man was created in the image and likeness of God and green beans and steers were not. But nonetheless, they were created by God, have value and purpose, and God says, I have given them to you for food. God has decreed that in times of war, it is necessary to take life, as long as that life that is being taken is a life that is fighting for an unrighteous cause. God has decreed that when man takes the life of another human being unrighteously, that the death penalty is an appropriate punishment. So yes, life can be taken without consequence. But on the other hand, when life is taken from one who is righteous, and may I say to even to a lesser extent, when animal and plant life is destroyed without purpose, there is consequence. Now certainly it's not going to be the death penalty, but nonetheless there's consequence. So the third question: should there be consequence to man if his life is taken by accident? I've just drawn question number one, question number two, put them together. And if you thought either one of them was a trick question, you really got one now. Should there be consequence to man if another's life, which has value and purpose in the sovereign will of God and in the scheme of things where God makes no accidents, should there be consequence to a man who takes another person's life by accident? An accident. Turn in your Bibles with me before we get to Joshua 20 to Deuteronomy chapter 19. And then we'll get there. Joshua chapter 20 is the historical fulfillment of the decree given in Deuteronomy chapter 19. So we start there. God is speaking to Moses, and Moses then is consequently speaking to the people. When the Lord thy God hath cut off the nations whose land the Lord thy God giveth thee, and thou succeedest them, and dwellest in their cities and in their houses, thou shalt separate three cities for thee in the midst of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. Thou shalt prepare thee a way, and divide the coasts of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to inherit, into three parts, that every slayer may flee there. And this is the case of the slayer which shall flee there, that he may live. Whoso kills his neighbor ignorantly, whom he hated not in time past, as when a man goeth into the wood with his neighbor to hew wood, and his hand fetcheth a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree, and the head slippeth from the helve, and lighteth upon his neighbor, that he die, he shall flee unto one of those cities and live. Lest the avenger of the blood pursue the slayer while his heart is hot, and overtake him, because the way is long, and slay him, whereas he was not worthy of death, inasmuch as he hated him not in time past. Whereof I command thee, saying, thou shalt separate three cities for thee, and if the Lord thy God enlarge thy coast, as he hath sworn unto thy fathers, and give thee all the land which he promised to give unto thy fathers, thou shalt keep all these commandments to do them which I command thee this day, to love the Lord thy God, and to walk ever in his ways, then thou shalt add three cities more for thee besides the three. God is saying, accidents happen. And he gives a specific example of one. You go to cut down wood and you ask your neighbor to come along and help, and you go to take the axe and you go to swing it at the tree, and the head of the axe comes off the handle and it hits your neighbor and he dies. Certainly something not premeditated. There was no malice involved in there. But you've taken a life that has sacred value to it. And therefore, a just penalty would be death. But you didn't mean to do it. And he says, I want you to declare three cities. And if you get the whole land that I'm going to give you, make it six. And by the way, we'll see that they got all six. But this is a place where a person can flee. It's a city of refuge. And there he will be judged, and there he may stay from the avenger. Now, in a perfect world, you would go to the avenger, which would be the next of kin to the dead person, and you would say to him, look, a terrible accident has taken place. I had no sovereign control over the events of the thing, but God in His sovereignty saw fit that this would happen to accomplish His purposes. And I am heartbroken over the loss of your relative, but I want you to know this has taken place. In a perfect world, that person would say, praise the Lord. His will is being accomplished. Again, I repeat, we do not live in a perfect world. And the thought here in verse 6, lest the avenger of blood pursue the slayer while his heart is hot. He is angry to the max. And he says, justice will be that you lose your life. You flee to one of these cities. Now, if you will, turn to Joshua chapter 20 and we'll see the fulfillment of this passage of Scripture. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out of you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee there, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return, come unto his own city and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. And they appointed Kedesh in Galilee, in Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kiriath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. And on the other side Jordan, by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, for the stranger that sojourned among them, that whosoever killeth any person that unawares might flee there, and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. Now here's the thing. An accident happens. A person would run to one of these cities as quickly as he could, because if he was caught before he got there, the avenger of blood had legal recourse to say, you've killed, you've taken life that is sacred, justice needs to be served. And he would run to the city of refuge, and there he would meet the elders of the city at the gate. He would state his cause to them, and two things had to be proven. First of all, that he had no prior malice to the person who lost his life. If there was a history of fighting between them, oh, his goose is cooked. However, if they were good buddies and it was truly an accident, and that would be the second thing, there was no premeditation of taking his life. There's a legitimate cause here that might be defined as an accident. Then he would say to these people, here's the case, and they would say, okay, look, it was an accident in the sovereign plan of God. You are allowed to come into this city. The avenger of blood cannot touch you here. No consequence. Wait a minute. Trick question. Consequence. As long as the high priest lives, you must stay within the walls of this city. If ever you should set foot outside the walls of the city, the avenger of blood has legal recourse to take your life. As long as you stay here, can't touch you. Once the high priest dies, you can go back to your home city where you live, back to the place where you came from, without consequence, but not until the high priest dies. If ever an accident came into your life, you had hoped that the high priest was 95 years old. because in the time that you would be there, you would lose all freedom. The law would hem you in. You could do practically nothing other than live, but you would live. You were free from the sentence of death until the high priest died. Interesting, if you go over into 2 Samuel chapter 3, you will find a case where one man by the name of Abner steps outside the city of refuge, and Joab was waiting for him. Abner had killed Joab's brother, and Joab was hot, and it was eating at him, and he was just waiting for the opportunity, and when it presented itself, he took it. And David said, I wouldn't have done it. In a perfect world, I would have been merciful, but it's not a perfect world, and he had every legal right to do it. City of refuge. I want you to notice a couple of things about the city of refuge. First of all, the city of refuge is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn in your Bibles to that book that we've been studying on Sunday mornings, Hebrews chapter 6. A verse that we came across a month or so ago. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us. The Lord Jesus Christ, or actually, I got this backwards, the city of refuge is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. According to the writer of Hebrews, in fleeing unto Christ by faith, we are fleeing unto a place where the law cannot touch us. The sentence of death cannot be bothered by it. As long as we abide within the city of refuge, there is no consequence to those things that were done unintentionally without malice. Now, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ even takes care of the things that were done with malice and intent. But the picture is the idea of all of us, even the best of us, make mistakes. We have accidents. Things happen in our lives that we never intended, but we lack sovereignty to control. And there are consequences to those things, and we flee, and because if we don't, we have to suffer the consequences, and the wages of sin is death. And we come to a city of refuge, and there the Lord Jesus Christ says, abide in me, I will take care of the sentence of death. Well, for how long? Well, until the high priest dies. Well, let's see. The Lord Jesus Christ, according to the book of Hebrews, is our high priest. And he has already died. And upon the death of the high priest, the person is allowed to go back to their city and allowed to resume life without consequence. So in other words, this city of refuge in the Old Testament was a type of coming to Christ, and because he has died for our sins, we are able to go on through the rest of life having sins dealt with and freedom restored to us, and the law cannot touch us at all. No amens on that one. But I want you to notice one other thing about the cities of refuge. There were six of them. God gave the entirety of the land that he had promised to the children of Israel. If you were to plot those cities on the map, you would find, according to the declaration here in Joshua chapter 20, there were three on the west side of the Jordan River, there were three on the east side of the Jordan River. Plotted out, you would find them intermittently spaced evenly throughout the country, so that no matter where anyone was at any point in time, when an accident occurred, there was a city of refuge that was relatively nearby. They were easily accessible. No one could die because, oh, I couldn't get there in time. They were close by. May I say to you that the Lord Jesus Christ is just as close? In fact, over in the book of Acts, and here's where I will close, chapter 17. Verse 22, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious or religious." The idea of is kind of the same there. They had a religious superstition. If you step on a crack, you break your mother's back, or if, you know, you walk under a ladder or break a mirror, it's 7 years, bad luck. It wasn't that type of superstition, but it was, if we do this, then the gods are going to be appeased type of superstitions. "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven, sovereign, and earth, dwelleth not in temple made with hands, neither is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life." All life comes from God, and therefore, under his sovereign direction, has value and purpose, and is sacred, and breath in all things. "And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined times before appointed and the bounds of their habitations," again an act of sovereignty, "that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him." Oh, he's out there somewhere. Oh, but he's afar off. "Though he be not far from every one of us." There's a city of refuge within walking distance. "For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring, and therefore we have value." The Lord Jesus Christ is available to all. But like the man at the pool of Bethesda, there are some, not by accident, but by divine design, are lame and can't even walk. How will they come to a city of refuge unless someone else would carry them? That's our job. "Oh, I couldn't carry a person that far." That city of refuge is real close. All you have to do is take the gospel to them, and they're there. Accidents happen. There is consequence to accidents, but there is also divine provision for it. See, it wasn't that much of a trick question after all, was it? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that he is available to all. Thank you that he is not out of the reach of anyone. And Lord, the world is lost. It is under the sentence of death, just as we have been who know Jesus Christ as Savior. Lord, use us to take people, to bring people to Christ, that they might find refuge. And in that refuge, they might find a high priest who has died for them and given them freedom from the law that condemns. Lord, help us to rejoice in the freedom that we have and live with purpose and value under the sovereign control of our Almighty God, that we might accomplish your purposes for your honor and glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Good week.